Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, here we go with a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report here on the Big X Sports Radio. We do this each weekday at 11 a.m. You can catch the replay most days at 3 p.m. And don't forget, we are on podcasting. If you want to go back and listen or you missed a full show, you can do so at soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. We are also in Apple Podcasts. That is a very simple way to subscribe and get that every day. Just search the Hoosier Report and leave us a rating and a review while you are there, please. Thanks for all the new listeners. I know that we've had a lot more podcast listens here lately. Thanks for tuning in and getting your latest on IU and Southern Indiana sports. Glad to have you with us. Big news to start this Tuesday. I guess this is really big news considering it's right in the middle of July and basketball season is still months and months away. Despite all the excitement, I'm talking IU, I'm talking high school, I'm talking everything, because in basketball state like Indiana and Southern Indiana, we're crazy for it. We all know that. We all admit that. That's why probably you're listening to this show intently in the middle of the summer. But with that being said, some big news. Hoosier Hysteria has been set for Saturday, September 29th at Assembly Hall. Teams can officially begin practicing for the upcoming season on Tuesday, September 25th. So 4 days after their first practice, that is when Indiana will host the Hoosier Hysteria event. The regular season can begin with games on Tuesday, November 6th. So there's a nice period of practice there before things get underway as far as college basketball games go. Admission to Hoosier Hysteria, normally it's free. They did not include that in the announcement earlier today. But fans normally bring a canned food item that is donated to Hoosier Hills Food Bank. Also that weekend, it's a huge recruiting weekend. And it's not just for the key targets for this year, the 2019 class. It's also a event where a lot of guys will come in, even guys that have maybe just lukewarm IU interest that maybe are second or third options. Lots and lots of younger players as well. Again, it's in the past, it's been kind of a wide net cast and a lot of prospects brought in for that weekend, especially the younger guys. There is no home football game. IU is on the road, I think, at Rutgers that weekend, but still, it will be a big recruiting weekend for sure. And for everybody down here in Southern Indiana, the first time to see Romeo Langford in an official IU uniform, an official IU event, and I know that will be big stuff, a good representation from this part of the state. So that will be interesting. Hoosier Hysteria now set. We'll talk more about that a little bit later in the program today. And obviously, for the kids, it's the hype, the autographs, the music, the lights, the sound, all that sort of thing. For, I think, all the fans, the big takeaway from Hoosier Hysteria is that scrimmage. And each year it seems to vary. Coaches, Coach Miller, Coach Green had different philosophies, and in times they've changed it themselves about how long the scrimmage is set or what the format of the scrimmage is. But that's obviously the fun part. After all the talk about these guys in the offseason, to finally get a chance to watch them, even if it's for a short period or a couple short halves, you get a good feel for what is going on and maybe who's been working on what, and you get to see the players up close and personal, what type of shape they are in, and how the offseason has went for them. So it will be fun this year. It's fun every year because it means college basketball and the basketball season in general is really close. Big difference talking about basketball in late September than there is in the middle of July. But obviously, it'll be fun, and that gives us a date to put on the calendar now for Hoosier Hysteria. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Joining us here on this Wednesday program in segment two will be Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star. He's a sports columnist for the Star, and you just never quite know how the segment with Greg is going to go. Always fun to have him with us, and our chat with Greg Doyle each week is presented by Coffee Crossing. Later in the program, we will have a special guest join us today, Allie Hornung from Providence. She made a college decision yesterday. She will play at Purdue. She'll play volleyball at a high level at Purdue, and her team just back from the Purdue team camp. A lot of local teams as they get ready for volleyball season in high school, which is just around the corner, by the way, go to that Purdue team camp. Purdue won the a couple divisions up there, I understand, but won the varsity division. Of course, Allie, a great volleyball player. Her sister, a great volleyball player as well, and we look forward to talking with her about her college decision coming up here a little bit later in the program. That's one of the fun things about this program. Obviously, basketball takes the cake in the area. We all know that, but I enjoy celebrating the big college decisions of our athletes in the area, whether it's like Allie with the Division I volleyball program or someone else that goes on to play D2, D3 in any sport. It's a big deal and it's a big accomplishment. It's also a big commitment to play any sport, whether it's Romeo playing basketball at Indiana or any Division I or college-level sport. The requirements of you are so stringent and include so much year-round in addition to being a college student that I think it's a big honor and a big commitment, and I enjoy talking about him. I enjoy celebrating him. I enjoy especially hearing from the athletes themselves on why they chose a certain school. So we will talk with Allie Hornung a little bit later in the program. That's a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham here in New Albany. You can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You'll get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Of course, Hoosier Hysteria, that date being set, that's the big deal of the day on Saturday, September 29th. But some other recruiting notes to get to and some other stuff today as well. And I kind of am proud to tell you this because I told you before July that I thought Brandon Newman would be a player that had the talent and was kind of trending to the point where he would get a number of scholarship offers in July. He got an offer during the middle of the first window from Virginia Tech, and yesterday afternoon, he picked up a scholarship offer from Maryland in the Big Ten Conference as well. Keep in mind, Brandon has had a number of scholarship offers. A lot of Midwestern, mid-major type schools offered him months and months ago. Indiana, Purdue, others, they jumped on him more recently. Now others beginning to jump on from outside of the Midwest, like Virginia Tech, like Maryland. And the first window is over. Now he's got two more five-day periods that he will play. And what happens is, as Maryland and Virginia Tech offer this guy, and the word gets out on social media, a lot of other schools that follow their recruiting, compete against those guys, they're going to want to take a look at him, and they'll be doing some investigative work as well. Last year, no question about it, the player of July, as far as increasing his scholarship situation, his opportunities to play college basketball at a high level, was Aaron Henry of Indianapolis Ben Davis, who, after being flirted with a little bit from Indiana, no official scholarship offer, he ended up committing to Michigan State. I think Brandon Newman, who, of course, unfortunately, will not be in the state for his senior year at Valpo. He's going down to Montverde in Florida for his final year of high school basketball. I think, though, that he has the potential to be that type of player from our area, from our state this year. So that will be interesting to follow. So far, two big high major offers from schools outside of the Midwestern area. Also, this is an update from over the weekend, but Isaiah Stewart, he plays at La Lemire. Indiana was in his final 10 that he released shortly before the July evaluation period got underway. He said during the Peach Jam final on ESPNU that his plan now is to take his top 10 list and cut it to five schools, the five schools remaining will be the schools that he takes visits to. Didn't give a specific date on when the cut could be made from 10 to 5, but you would think it would be sometime likely after the July evaluation period. Final Four is going to return to Indianapolis in 2026. It was announced yesterday by the NCAA. That means that the Final Four will now be 2021 in Indianapolis, back again in 2026. Next year's Final Four is in Minneapolis. The following year, 2020 in Atlanta. Then, of course, 2021, Indianapolis. Indianapolis has just been landing some huge sporting events, and they've always been home to the Final Four on somewhat of a rotational scale, but they've got a number of events coming to town here over the next, I think, 3 or 4 years. I saw the list yesterday, just a very, very impressive list of events that the community of Indianapolis and its sports partners there have been able to attract to the city. Speaking of Final Fours, the 9 men's basketball Final Fours that have been played in Indianapolis over the years are second only to the 10 hosted in Kansas City. Of course, Kansas City hasn't been a host for a while. The last Final Four in Kansas City back in 1988 for Kansas City. Couple other notes as well. The New York Knicks, they waived Indiana product Troy Williams yesterday. We'll see what's next for him. Does he get an opportunity to play in the G League? Does he take a look at something else? We'll find out soon, I would think, for Troy. Also, the Summer League is now over as far as a IU perspective goes. OG Anunoby from the Toronto Raptors at the Vegas League. 4 games played, 15.8 points per game, 6 rebounds per game, 27.3 minutes per game, shot 40% from the field. Obviously, I've told you my thoughts on him. I think it's very clear that he has the chance to be a long-term NBA player for the Raptors organization. Thomas Bryant, he was playing in the Summer League with the Washington Wizards. Got a late start in Summer League play after getting waived by the Lakers. Just played 3 games, but he had a nice outing. 15.3 points per game, 8.7 rebounds, 2 blocks, 1 assist. He averaged just about 30 minutes per game and shot almost 60% from the field in his Summer League appearances as well. Troy Williams playing for the Knicks. I just told you he's no longer with the Knicks, but he played 5 games, had a pretty solid outing, 11.8 points, 4 rebounds, 1.6 assists, did play about 21 minutes a game and shot 46% from the field. James Blackman Jr. with Milwaukee, he played in just 3 games, only averaged 3.7 points, 1.3 rebounds, got about 18 minutes per game and shot just 14% from the field. Robert Johnson with the Atlanta Hawks, he played in 2 different summer leagues. In the Vegas League, he played 5 games, averaged 8.6 points, 1.8 rebounds, got about 17 minutes a game, shot 40% from the field. So a look at also Christian Watford as well. He played 3 games in Vegas, just 2.3 points, 3.7 rebounds, however, played about 13 minutes per game for the Memphis Grizzlies team. So some solid performances, especially by a handful of guys with IU ties, Thomas Bryant, OG Anunoby. They both had very solid summer leagues, no question about that. Even Robert Johnson in Vegas specifically, he played well. So it'll be interesting to see. Always fun to see where the former Hoosiers track in their professional days. I mentioned yesterday Yogi Ferrell, an opportunity coming up perhaps to get some a long-term contract with the multi-year contract with the Dallas Mavericks, which would be huge for him. So always interesting to keep an eye on those guys as well. Speaking of NBA guys, I went back and watched the Peach Jam final yesterday, and Victor Oladipo, he played for Team Takeover and was right there on the sidelines cheering for him, as you would expect Oladipo to do. Fun to see him down at the Peach Jam enjoying himself in the offseason. Couple little league notes. We've got, I told you yesterday, some really good teams from the area going on after winning the district to play in state tournaments across the state. Some of the softball tournaments are already started. Some of them are already completed as well. And I understand that a combined Jeffersonville and Charlestown softball team in the junior division won the state tournament last night, had a great outing up at the state tournament. They'll now go on to the regional in that division. So big stuff from them. We'll have more on that later in the week. Also, last night, the Floyd's Knobs major softball team, 12-year-old softball team, they played up at Elkhart. Their state tournament is now over. Floyd's Knobs Little League won the state championship. The amazing thing about that team, 12-year-old softball, I think they've only got one or two players who are of the correct age. Everyone else is younger. Some are younger by multiple years. So big stuff for them. They now go on to the Central Region as well. That will take place next week, continuing down that path, which a year ago, a Floyd's Knobs team in that age group made it all the way to the Little League World Series out in Oregon before they were put out, I think, as third place in that tournament. So some local softball teams getting it done at the state tournaments. We'll have more updates on some of the local teams throughout the week. Some of the baseball teams, they begin play in state tournaments later this week into next week. We'll be tracking some of that as well. That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill with fresh, made-to-order food, a great selection of craft brews, and the best sports atmosphere around. Hoopsters has karaoke and a DJ on Friday nights, live bands on Saturday nights. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with more, including an interview with Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. A lot to get to with Greg. Stay with us for that right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back with Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star here on a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report. Our chat with Greg each week is presented by Coffee Crossing. They would like to recommend you try their new breakfast and expanded lunch menus at their sister company, which is 410 Bakery and Cafe, located in downtown New Albany. Greg Doyle, you and I had some conversation over the last week or two about all the July recruiting stuff that takes place, the potential for rule changes, the NABC with recommendations forthcoming to the Commission on College Basketball that likely is going to make some major overhauls and changes, and really coming out of the first window that coaches could be on the road. A lot of your buddies, Gary Parrish, a name slipped my mind for a moment. He had some great pieces that, and talked to a lot of college coaches. Not many are favoring the proposed changes that have gotten out there.
Yeah, I don't know anything about what that. I don't know anything about it. All I know is, I think I already told you this once, but this is all just lipstick on a pig. The cheating that's happened, what's wrong with college basketball is not that the coaches can see this kid on July 3rd, but not July 9th. Well, there's a window for 2 weeks here, there's a window for two. I mean, that's it's irrelevant. And people can find folks, I don't even know what the story is, but people can find folks saying uplifting things, and that's great. And that's not going to stop some scumbag who has some Adidas money in his back pocket giving 10 grand to some kid out of Kansas. It's just not going to stop it from happening.
I guess my point is, if all the coaches, even Coach K stepping forward to make negative comments about it, if all these coaches wholesale have issues with it and the NABC is the one making the recommendation, is there, you think this is something that will go through? I mean, if there's a huge cry about it from some of the top coaches in the sport?
Oh, probably not, but, it gets easy to kind of throw your hands up at this whole thing and just say you can't be fixed. Which is no way to go through life. I mean, obviously, just admitting defeat is no way to go through life. But, my God, I've been covering this sport for 20 years, and it just gets worse. And everybody says they're trying harder. And I will tell you, and again, I've not read that story, so I don't know who's been quoted. I can assure you there's at least one person quoted in that story that I think cheats. So and again, I don't even know who's quoted, so I feel safe saying that. So I guarantee you, though, there's somebody in that story that got quoted that I think cheats. And they're not the biggest problem. The problem is the leeches on the outside. So the whole, the sport's dirty. You know, if you want to talk about it, we can talk about it. The sport's dirty, and it's an oil slick in the ocean, and I just don't know how you clean up an oil slick.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, joining us, presented by Coffee Crossing. We were texting this morning about you coming on today, and you mentioned Dean Tate of Warren Central. who didn't get a lot of college attention but did recently make a commitment to play small college basketball at Purdue Northwest. And obviously New Albany fans specifically would know what he does or did for his Warren Central team to lead them to a state championship. You asked me about Sean East as well. He recently received a college scholarship, a Division I scholarship offer from Southeast Missouri, and I wasn't sure if the offer was for this year to go there now, be a freshman in a few months, or to go there after a year of junior college ball or prep school ball in 2019. But nonetheless, I know that you have enjoyed writing about, talking about, figuring out what's going on with kids that have had great careers, that have great talent, but maybe have went overlooked a little bit.
I like the idea of Sean East, by the way, going to a school whose initials are SE. I think there's something pretty cool there. So if he's going to get one D1 offer in the whole world, that's not bad. We see you down there seeing Sean East, all your folks down there listening, and then me up here with Dean Tate. And sometimes it crosses over, but you see him all the time, and I see Dean Tate all the time. And when you see these people all the time, and you know how good they are, and you know what kind of people they are, it just kind of blows you away that there are thousands of scholarships offered every year. And sometimes they just somehow a kid will slip through the cracks. Even a kid who had, I mean, Sean East played in front of every coach in America at some point. I mean, he was every good coach. I mean, and even the mid-majors. I mean, Romeo attracts everybody. So there's no excuse for that. And there's no excuse. Dean Tate is a two-sport star. He might be better in football than basketball. He's only 5'8", and that, I guess, is a problem for some people. But college basketball and football, too, are full of guys. The occasional athletic freak who's just such a great kid just finds a way to make it. And Dean Tate is that guy. I mean, he's an honor roll student. He's an Indiana scholar, which means most of his scholarship to a state school is paid for anyway. He donates his time on weekends to all kinds of great stuff and doesn't do it for attention. I had to drag it out of his grandma, I think. Hey, what does Dean do for other people? And she finally told me until I put it in the paper. Nobody knew until I wrote that. It's not like he's bragging about it. And that kid couldn't get an offer anywhere. And every time he plays in an all-star, not just a game, but an all-star game. Like, he played in a football all-star game over the weekend. I don't know what it was. They played in it, and some of the best players in Indiana played in it, and he had 9 catches for 120 yards and a touchdown. It's what he does. And when he played in that all-star game at the gym at Hickory, and it wasn't the best of the best against the best, but it was the next tier of the best playing in that all-star game at Knightsdale, and he's one of the best players on the court there. It's just what he does. And so, Sean East is probably the same way in every basketball gym he's ever been in, so I just don't understand it.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, joins us Tuesdays, presented by Coffee Crossing. You were at the IBCA Girls Showcase, and again, I applaud you for getting out and seeing some of the events that people, I think, in the past, typically in a position, columnist position like yours, may not have gotten out to see. And you actually wrote about a girl. She's not from our area, from Danville, Indiana, but one of the best shooters you say you've ever seen in high school basketball.
Well, statistically speaking, she's the best the state had last year, and even on the boys' side, maybe. I guess you already know, but before you read the story, did you know about the 40-50, the 50-40-90 club?
No, uh-uh.
Okay, it's a thing in the NBA, it's a thing, and it's a goal for the best shooters. You shoot 50% from the field overall, 40% on threes, and 90 from the line. And a lot of guys come close. A lot of guys come real close. Only 7 players in the history of the NBA have ever done that. Of course, the three-point shot's only been around since 1980, but still, that's, what, almost 40 years. Only 7 players have ever done it. And there, 6 of them are the some of the best shooters you've ever heard of, and then the 7th is Mark Price, and he wasn't bad. So, like, Reggie Miller did it, Larry Bird did it, Steve Nash did it. She did that, is my point. She did that last year in high school as a high school sophomore. Granted, the three-point arc is shorter in high school. Granted, the girls' ball is smaller. I mean, I get it. They're not apples and apples, but they're close. They're not apples and oranges. They're apples and pears or something like that. And that's pretty remarkable. She was the only girl in the state. If Max Prep stats are to be trusted, and at this point that's all I got, she was the only girl in the state. And if you're really good, you know how it goes with Max Preps. If you're really good, you're in there. Like, your coach, someone's putting you in there. And if you're really good, you're going to 50-40-90. You're in there. So anyway, she's the only one. The only one. And there's only one boy that did it. One. Luke Brown, a kid I wrote about last year from Blackford. I wrote about him, and he got hurt halfway through the year, so he didn't even finish his season. So if I want to be real stingy about this, she's the only kid in the state of Indiana who played a full season last year and shot 50-40-90. Her name's Ella Collier from Danville. And she's just going to be a rising junior. And I'm telling you, and I'm no expert on girls' basketball recruiting or boys' basketball recruiting, but after going to this thing yesterday and seeing all these kids, but also looking up a lot of the younger ones, like if you're a rising senior and maybe even a rising junior, okay. But the rising sophomore class in this state is absurd. I mean, absurd. We're talking, it's got to be one of the best rising sophomore classes the state's ever had. If this state produces that many girl basketball players every year, then we might have invented basketball, and come to think of it, we kind of did.
Craig Doyle, Indianapolis Star, our guest. Greg, yesterday on the show, we recapped a big event down here over the weekend. Romeo Langford outdoor basketball court was opened.
I saw that.
Romeo was there in the heat with his family for the entire day, greeting the youngsters in the elementary scrimmages, watching the New Albany Floyd Central alumni game. Him and his dad and a couple buddies got a chance to get out there and play some horse and shoot around. But one thing struck me, and it shouldn't be of any surprise to anyone that's followed IU's incoming freshman on social media with Cliff Marshall over the summer, but there's no question about it. He looks bigger. You know, he had his shirt on. You couldn't compare it like you did Jake Forrester, the pictures that IU put out of him before and after some summer workouts. But there's no question with Romeo getting a tutelage from Cliff Marshall on a daily basis that he is improving his body quickly and in a big way. And I think if we get a before and after picture of him here a little bit down the road, people are just going to be amazed at how quickly his already athletic body is changing, becoming more of a Big Ten ready body.
Yeah, in 3 months, which is about what he has, maybe four, but a young person with superior genetics, and of course Romeo fits all those criteria, then paired with an elite strength conditioning program, which of course Indiana has, you can do great, great stuff in 3 or 4 months. It's not like, that's only 3 months, what are you going to do? Well, you can put on probably 15 pounds of muscle if you want to. I don't know how big, there's a certain level, obviously, where you get too big. So I don't know what his number is, but whatever the number is, he's going to come close to getting there this offseason. So he'll be even better next year. I don't recall thinking ever that, if Romeo just was a little bit stronger, he'd be special. I never even really thought that, but we do know that going to the Big Ten, it's a different caliber of physicality. But more impressive to me than the fact that he's getting bigger, because that happens, okay? I mean, kids go, Cliff puts up before and after pictures of everybody. I mean, they all do it. So that's going to happen. What doesn't happen is a high school senior, so he hasn't really started his first college class yet, maybe he has, but just finished his high school senior year, having a court named after him. Not 20 years from now you had a court named after you because of what you did in high school, but you had a court named after you shortly after you graduated. That doesn't happen. So many times I've said to you that whatever we're seeing with Romeo, the reason we talk on and on about it, and the reason I specifically go on as crazy about it as I do, is that that's not normal, and that's not even like abnormal. You see it a little bit, but not often. I mean, you never see it. You just don't see that. And for that guy to have a court is kind of sums it up really who he is, because you don't give him a court because he's great at basketball. You don't just say, you know what, Romeo, you're a great basketball player. Here's a court in your name. It's a lot more than that. And good for the folks down there for doing that and not waiting whatever the appropriate time is. The hell with that. Put that kid's name on it right now. He deserves it. He probably deserved it 3 years ago.
I told someone at the event on Saturday that was kind of having the same type of conversation that we are now. It's really the perfect storm, because Romeo not only was a once-in-a-generation type player for high school basketball in this area, in this state, and perhaps beyond, also the great showing he had off the court, attitude, community, being there for kids, just all the things he did. But in this area specifically, where basketball is king and high school basketball, there's still no question about it, still rules. To me, it's the perfect storm. Could Romeo have played somewhere else in another state and had a great career and been well thought of and had all the schools on him and been an NBA prospect? Sure. Would he have a court named after him at this point of his career, playing in another state, and maybe even in another part of the state? I don't know. That to me, it's the perfect storm for him, and I think that taking advantage of using his name to get kids outside playing is a good thing. And it was a good day Saturday. I wish he could have come.
Yeah, there's not a lot of special moments like that you think you're never going to see that again, but that is kind of one of those that you might not ever see that again. And he doesn't just have the stuff named for him. He shows up and he's busy and he's got a lot of things to do. And it's, if the world had more of him, it really wouldn't be such a lightning bolt of specialness when we actually see it. So I guess I don't want to say, man, I wish we had more of him, because it's nice when something like this happens and you realize this is historically good. And I'm not even talking about basketball, just in the whole damn thing. It's just historically good. And spinning it real quick, I know where I go, but spinning it towards Indiana real quick, is him coming to Indiana. Archie's on the road now, and him coming to Indiana shows all these recruits out there, because it's kind of like being a virgin. Until you've done it, you haven't done it. Archie Miller didn't have that guy that he can tell the recruits, hey, you don't have to go to Duke, you can come here. You don't have to go to Kentucky, you can come here. Archie hadn't done that yet. Well, he's done that now. It's hard to be the first one. Romeo's the first one. So going forward, Romeo's going to pay off in a lot of ways. Oh, one more thing real quick. This is what I wanted to say. We don't even know the outcome of the impact of Romeo yet. You can see it and you think you know it and you know it's big. You know that. 20 years from now is when that story is really going to be told. And I don't even know how it's going to be told. I don't know. I got into the internet coming. I don't know what's going to happen. But 20, 25 years from now, we're going to know just how big a deal Romeo was to the young generation in your city. We don't know it now, but it's going to be remarkable, whatever that answer is.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. Greg, thanks so much. Always a blast to have you with us, and we'll do it again next week.
Yeah, but if I ever compare Romeo to the internet again. I love him, but he's not the internet.
All right, bye-bye. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. A lot of fun to have him on. You never quite know which direction things are going to go. But Greg does love talking some Romeo, as I do, and as I know many of you enjoy hearing the latest with what's going on with him. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with a very special volleyball player from a great athletic and volleyball family in the area. Allie Hornung made a commitment to attend Purdue yesterday. We'll talk with her about that and talk with her about the upcoming season as well. Stay with us for more coming your way here on a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back here on a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report, and we have the chance to talk with Allie Hornung in this segment. And I mentioned earlier that she has chosen Purdue. She still has 3 seasons of high school volleyball left. And again, we talked with Tucker Bibben a few weeks ago, who hasn't even played his first freshman baseball game yet, hasn't even attended his first day of school at New Albany. He's committed to Louisville for baseball. So it's really unbelievable to see all of these young prospects in the area get a chance to play Division I sports at a high level and attract interest from these coaches very early on in their careers. Allie, before we start our chat today, I'd just like to tell you congratulations. I'm sure that you guys and your family very, very excited to know where you're headed down the road, and that'll be Purdue for volleyball.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. I want to start with Purdue. You guys just were there for a team camp. I think it's a yearly tradition for you guys at Providence Volleyball. You've had a lot of success there over the years. I'm sure you've gotten to know the coaches and the players. Why Purdue? What was the reason that you said, hey, I'm home. I want to choose Purdue. It's where I want to play my volleyball down the road after my career at Providence is over.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was the people that are there. The coaches, John and Dave, are brothers, and then Kat, one of the assistants, they treat her like she's their sister. And so they're really close, and they treat the girls the same way. And so it's just a really, really good family environment for everyone. It kind of reminds me of how Providence is. And the fan support there is crazy. They pack so many people into their gym. It's not a huge gym, but it gets super loud in there, and it's hard for opponents to play because it does get so loud. So those are some of the reasons why. I could go on forever about it because it's such a great school, but those are some of the reasons why I chose Purdue.
That is great for you. I should also mention that your sister Marissa, who had an unbelievable high school volleyball career as well, she is an incoming freshman for the Boilermakers volleyball program. So I'm sure for you guys, you got a chance to play 1 year in high school together. That would be the same case in college. I'm sure that's exciting to know that you'll be following in her footsteps there and get the chance to reconnect with her again down the road.
For sure. She's so fun to play with. She has so much energy, and it's so contagious for everyone. So it's just so much fun to play with her.
We're talking with Allie Hornung of Providence. She will be a sophomore when school resumes later this summer. Of course, the high school volleyball season is just around the corner. Allie committed to Purdue yesterday. Allie, who were some of the other schools? I know you had a number of schools interested in you, even though you are young in your high school career, your volleyball career. Who were some of the other schools interested in you?
Well, my top three, whenever I narrowed it down, were Purdue, Kentucky, and Florida. And then after that, I sort of narrowed it down to Kentucky and Purdue because they're both closer to home. And it was a hard decision because Kentucky's a great school, too. They have a great staff, and the girls there are awesome as well. So those are my final two that I had it down to.
How hard was it to make the decision between those final two of Purdue and Kentucky? I know Kentucky got Allie Stumler, who was another tremendous volleyball player. I know that you guys know well from Christian Academy. They were the defending SEC champions in volleyball. Was it a tough decision, or was Purdue kind of the front runner because of the longstanding connection and the connection with your sister there?
Yeah, I mean, it was a tough decision, but the fact that Marissa's there was always in my mind, so it was hard to get over that. So Purdue was, for most of the time, they were the front runner for me, yeah.
We're talking with Allie Hornung, sophomore at Providence and committed to Purdue volleyball yesterday. I want to bring up probably a tough subject for you. Providence has had some terrific runs, lots of state championships. Last year in the semi-state, it was number one Avon against number two Providence. Providence lost the first set by a narrow score of 26-24. And that was when you sprained your ankle. It was a severe sprain. You did not return for set two or the rest of the match. You ended up losing that match. I have to assume, knowing your dad, knowing your family as I do, and knowing how competitive you guys are in the sport of volleyball, that is a major motivating factor for you in your young career, I would think, to want to come back and maybe excel beyond that point.
For sure, yeah, because both my sisters have won a state championship. My dad has too, so I really, really want a state championship for me. So, and my teammates, because this year's going to be a good year for us. We worked so well together at Purdue team camp. We played so well, and I'm just super excited for us this year. I think it's going to be a good year.
Allie Hornung is my guest. What's it like to play for Terry Parika? She is the standard in volleyball here in Southern Indiana, and I know that she, to many, is the standard well beyond this area. What's it like to play for her? You've been around her now a great part of your life, I'm sure.
For sure, yeah. Well, me and her kids are best friends, so she's like my second mom, and she treats all of her players just like we are her own kids, so it's just awesome. She's the best coach I've ever had. She's so understanding, and she's such a great motivator for us.
You were first in kills last season as a freshman in Indiana. I think you led another category or two as well. Your name is out there as a freshman volleyball player, now as a sophomore to be at Providence. How does it feel to know you are one of the best in the state, if not beyond, in the sport?
I mean, it's awesome that my name is out there, but, I mean, I couldn't do any of it without my teammates because they're the reason why playing volleyball for me is so fun, and all my coaches that have helped me get there, club and high school both. I mean, I've just had some great people in my life that have helped me get to this point, and my parents, they're so supportive of me, my family. It's just awesome to have people like that.
We're talking. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm good.
We're talking with Allie Hornung, who committed to Purdue yesterday. She'll be a sophomore at Providence. I understand CeCe Rush on your team, who will be a junior. She is committed to Louisville. You guys, once again, are reloading with Division I volleyball commits. Two so far, perhaps some others down the road. Pretty cool stuff to know that you got teammates who are high-level players that are going to play the D1 ranks as well.
Yeah, there's definitely going to be more down the road. There's so many good players on our team this year, and it's good to know that we are going to be pretty loaded this year, and that's something to look forward to for us.
Allie, how excited are you about the upcoming high school volleyball season?
I'm so excited. It's going to be such a good year, and we all love each other, coaches and players. It's just going to be so much fun. Playing for Providence is awesome.
All right, Allie, thanks so much for joining us and telling us about your decision to attend Purdue. The good thing is for us in Southern Indiana, you don't just have one season left and then you're gone to Purdue. We get to watch you for the next three seasons, I guess, at Providence before you begin your college career at Purdue. Congrats on getting that big decision out of the way. We wish you the very best to you and your teammates this season, and we'll sure be following you.
Thank you so much.
All right, Allie Hornung, our guest here on this Tuesday show. You know, that, again, is one of the favorite things for me when we talk about local sports, to highlight the players that get a chance to make a decision, get a scholarship offer, to play whatever sport it is that they do best, whatever their passion is, to go on to the next level. And obviously, with Marissa at Purdue, now Allie will be at Purdue down the road, a very talented group of sisters, Jackie as well, that in that family that have played volleyball at Providence. And understand now, when you look at things, how that program has been able to be so successful, really reloading each year with young talent. And Allie Hornung, the latest, she'll go to Purdue at the end of her high school career. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, we'll talk with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com. Mike was up in New York for the first evaluation window for Division I basketball coaches to be out on the road. He got a look at some of the IU targets. A lot of younger players as well at the Adidas Gauntlet. We'll get his thoughts on that after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
You know, a basketball hero around here is treated like a god.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
You know, most people would kill to be treated like a god just for a few moments.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Final segment of the show on this Tuesday. Mike Pegram of Pegs.com joins us for an update. He was at New York, up in Brooklyn, for the first window for coaches to be out on the road, taking a look at some of the players at the Adidas Gauntlet. And Mike, I think not only did you have a chance to see a lot of great players from across the country, but a lot of good young players that IU has an interest in or may have a future interest in.
Yeah, I got to see a lot of the 2020 and 2021 players that Indiana's following. Christian Lander of the Evansville area, Trey Galloway, the state champ, 3A state champ, Culver, Anthony Leal, Bloomington South, DeAndre Davis of Lawrence Central. Just a lot of, outstanding young players. I can go on and on. Kurt Hoff of Forest Park down Southern Indiana. Just a lot of Adidas has, put together some good young teams, and I was able to see them out there as well as their 17 and other group.
Mike, I know you also got a chance to see a couple players, young guys from Silver Creek here locally that were playing for their Adidas teams, and even got a chance to catch up with one of them. Some names we might be hearing about in the future down the road, whether it be IU or other Division I programs, as their recruiting grows perhaps after the summer.
Yeah, I hear Silver Creek also has a really good incoming freshman. The name escapes me, but the Kaufman, I think Trey Kaufman has a 6'5 or so freshman this past year, but sophomore to be, really impressed me with the Louisville Magic. In a game I watch, I talked to him. He hasn't had hurt from colleges yet, but he's got a long high school career ahead of him to change all that. Another player from that same class is also on from Silver Creek, is also on the Louisville Magic. Tremendous shooter, really good scorer. So Silver Creek's going to have a team that you'll want to watch kind of grow. I think they had a lot of seniors on this past year's team, and they won. I believe won a sectional and did some damage in the tournament. But in another year or two, they might be even better.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, our guest. Obviously, the focus for the IU coaches in this first evaluation period that ended on Sunday was the Peach Jam. At one time, I think every IU coach was together down there watching some games on the same court. However, IU did spend some time up in New York. Tell us about the coaches were there and who they kind of focused in on.
Well, I think a lot of the focus was on D1 Minnesota. Tom Ostrom is from Minneapolis, has recruited Race Thompson from that area, has recruited other players from that program prior to coming to Indiana. And they were on the watch of both a D1 Minnesota 17U team of 2019 players and their 16 and another team, which was, you know, I think they may have both won the titles down there. It's, you know, it's amazing how much talent those teams have, especially talent with size. You know, you have a top six in the country player, Matthew Hurd, you know, 6'8", 6'9". And then you have a 6'10 player we featured this past weekend, Zeke Najai, and he's grown into the number 28 player in the country in that 2019 class, has an IU offer, told me that he's going to visit IU in August if he, you know, at least would like to. So they spent a lot of time on that team, and then there's two 6'9 players on the 2020 team in the 16 and under group that they already have offered, Dawson Garcia and Ben Carlson, really good players, just outstanding. I don't know what they're feeding the kids in Minneapolis, but they're tall and they're really outstanding prospects there right now.
We're talking with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com. Mike was in New York for the first evaluation window for coaches to be out on the road at the Adidas Gauntlet finale. What's next for the IU coaches? What's next for the grassroots scene? A lot of turmoil right now about what the future looks like, but as far as this next five-day window that starts tomorrow, Wednesday, 5 p.m., I believe, where can we expect to see college coaches arrive and show up to watch some games?
Things start to get more spread out these last two periods. There's an Adidas event in L.A. where many of the same teams that we had in New York will be there, pretty much all those teams, plus some open groups. So there will be a lot of West Coast teams joining that group. Milwaukee has an event. I think Indiana will be there to watch Harlan Beverly. Would have been there maybe to watch DJ Carton had he stayed uncommitted. But Nike kind of finished their deal at the Peach Jam, at least their, you know, EYBL Team Cirque. And so some of those teams get spread out a little bit. I think you might see some players move teams for the final period in July, maybe join some teams for Las Vegas, which is traditionally the place to be at the end of the month. But there will be some, I think that the kid from Evansville writes, Christian Lander will be in Louisville this last weekend. So Louisville is having some players that IU is looking at in that final weekend.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, with us on Tuesdays. We missed Mike for a couple weeks as he was traveling, but back now, and Mike will continue our chats on IU basketball with Pegs himself Tuesdays here on the show. Thanks, Mike.
I appreciate it, Matt. Take care.
That is going to wrap things up for today. Thanks for being with us. A jam-packed show, and we'll return tomorrow on Wednesday. Jeff Rabjohns, also of Pegs, will be with us, and much more coming your way. Don't forget you can podcast the show, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. We are also available on iTunes as well and Apple Podcasts. Have a great day. We'll talk with you tomorrow right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.